Manx Radio Sport.
A very warm welcome to the Saturday Sport Classified here on Manx Radio AM 1368. I'm Rob Pritchard. Joining me today is Tony Meppham live from the Bowl Stadium in Douglas to take a look at the football action that's been taking place both on and off Ireland this afternoon. We'll also be getting a bit of an insight into the Isle of Man's athletic scenes over the coming weeks and also the big matter of the 2025 Ireland Games coming up this summer in Orkney on the 12th to the 18th of July and the recently announced Manx athletic squad. A reminder as well for anyone looking to tune into Radio Caroline, that is continuing right now over online at www.radiocaroline.co.uk. So if you'd like to tune in right now to Radio Caroline, head on over to the Radio Caroline website, www.radiocaroline.co.uk. And of course here on AM 1368, we will be rejoining Radio Caroline at the conclusion of this programme. First of all this evening, let's take you through the classified sporting results for the Isle of Man today, Saturday the 10th of May 2025. They are as follows. In football, the Canada Life Men's Premier League, Foxdale 2, Peel 2. The Ascot Hotel Junior Cup Final. St John's United versus Rushden United is a late kickoff, kickoff at 5:30 p.m. at the Bowl in Douglas. And in a friendly, Accrington Stanley Women 1, Isle of Man Women 0. That concludes the classified sporting results for the Isle of Man today, Saturday the 10th of May 2025. If I can get my words out there. Well, he's been a busy man in the west of the island today looking at what's been going on in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. He's now hightailed it down to the Bowl in Douglas ahead of what is a big night for combination football, always at this time of year in combination football for the Isle of Man. The Ascot Hotel Junior Cup Final getting underway at 5:30 p.m, so in just over 25 minutes time. And joining us to take a look through what's already happened and what's in store is our football correspondent Tony Beppham. Tony, how's everything looking down at the Bowl so far this evening with kickoff less than half an hour away?
Yeah, spot on there, timing, Rob, because both teams are out just going through their final preparations before the game, as you rightly say. 5:30 kickoff. St John's to my right hand side just going through some shuffles, as we're rushing on the left hand side just doing a little bit of pace work going up and down, and then sort of just side to side, just warming up, make sure everything's warm. But the weather conditions down here are splendid. And just looking at the fan base across on the far side, Peel Road end, tremendous. A lot of people are there, sunshine as well. Pretty well certain it's going to last the whole game.
Well, we'll take a look at that game very soon as well. But let's take a look at what's been happening today elsewhere. Just the one league game on Ireland today. And Tony, you were down there at Douglas Road. Foxdale versus Peel. This fixture originally due to take place at Foxdale, but has been played at Peel today so that Peel can be presented with the Canada Life Men's Premier League trophy, which they won a few weeks ago. However, it was no procession today, was it, for Peel, Tony? Because they've been held to a 2-2 draw by Foxdale.
Yeah, and it was a good performance, I thought, by Foxdale, to be fair. They stuck at it in the second half because I just thought with one or two injuries looking evident, they would sort of crumble, but they didn't. But it was Paul Whitehead who started the game off. He scored on the 11th minute and a good finish by him. But then Lee Gale, against his old club, which is always nice to score, made it 1-1. But Jay Chatwood gave Foxdale the lead 2-1. And then it was just sort of nip and tuck right the way through. And it was all to play for. And Peel got their second of the game. And that was Paul Whitehead as well. But what a terrific shot from Scott Horn, the fullback for Peel. I thought he was going to get the winning goal. Rattled the bar. But unfortunately for Peel, it didn't happen. Didn't spoil the party. They were in full swing when I left. And I've just returned the trophy back to the headquarters in a safe place. And enjoy the night, Peel fans and Peel players.
And from a Foxdale perspective, Tony, they still do have one game left to play. They've had a couple of games in hand still to play of these last couple of weeks. Whatever happens next week, how do you think Foxdale might look at the season to this point?
Well, I think they've had a tremendous season, to be fair, Rob, because it was this time last year they got sort of promoted, and well done to them because they've sort of done really well. I don't know if they could climb up another place. I know they got a point today, but if they could take something away from Ayr United on Tuesday night, then they might just slot up into fourth or fifth. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, credit to them. They've worked hard. you could see there's a lot of tired legs there now, because a few injuries kicking around, but the boys played through the pain today, and I'm sure they'll enjoy the night as well, and then just sign the season off on Tuesday evening.
Indeed. Well, let's take a look at the only other game that was happening involving Manx teams this afternoon. It was off Ireland, of course, all the way in Lancashire. Glorious conditions there, as they were on the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man women's national team, led by manager Wayne Leesey, heading over to play Accrington Stanley women, who they did actually play in a friendly last season as well. Close fought affair at the Wham Stadium today, but Accrington Stanley women, the hosts, coming out on top with a late goal from debutant Darcy Dixon to win by a goal to nil. So, Tony, defeat for the Isle of Man. You'd imagine there'll be a bit of frustration, but you'd imagine they'll still take heart from running one of the northwest sides quite close today.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's what Wayne Leesey would have wanted. He doesn't want easy games on the run-up to the Ireland games, and it's just a test for some of the players, because there's two or three younger players who've come in late on selection, and Rosabelle Cardy being one of them, and it's just getting used to the intensity as you step up a tier. And when I looked at them in the Cherry Godfrey Cup, the Isle of Man team looked really sharp, and Wayne has got a strong squad there, Rory Mooney as well, who coaches them. And, you know, I don't think that's a bad result, to be fair, because it was 1-1 last season, 1-0 there today. But it's just the experience of playing at the Wham Stadium, because it's a terrific venue. Never had the pleasure to be in it, but by all accounts last year, the players thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm sure as the information comes in how the game went, we'll find out a true sort of record of the players' performance. But 1-0 against the side that plays a lot higher in the league. And when you look at our players, there's only a short amount of teams in that league, then I think it's a good performance.
From the manager's perspective, Tony, Wayne Leesey, he'll be well acquainted with what his team's best qualities are. But to get back into the swing of things for the women's team, given it had to be quite a quick turnaround for them to start to get ready for the Ireland Games this summer, he'll be learning a bit more about how maybe some of these newer players that are coming in might fit into the system, won't he?
Very much so, because when I look at the squad, that is a strong squad. I don't think there's many players who could have got into that sort of 20 that are going to go to Orkney. Unfortunately, Wayne didn't travel with the team today because he's just become a dad again. So congratulations, Wayne. But with Dylan there and also Rory, the two coaches, I'm pretty certain that they've got enough information to filter back to sort of Wayne. But there's no doubt about it. The standard of opposition today was high calibre, and it was always going to be a tough game. And to only just lose out 1-0, I credit to the team, and good performance, I'm sure.
Well, let's take a look then to the game that you're down at, Tony, this evening, getting underway in just under, in fact, just clicked 10 past five here at Broadcasting House. So just under 20 minutes to go to the kickoff of this year's Ascot Hotel Junior Cup Final. For a bit of context, for those who don't know, this is for combination sides across the Isle of Man, playing in Canada Life Combination 1 and Ardern and Drogheda Limited Combination 2, this competition. It's all coming to a head this evening. St John's United taking on Rushen United, Tony. And of course, we covered this on Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio last night, but for those who didn't catch that particular conversation around this, you think this could be quite a close fought contest this evening?
Yeah, I really do. I'm glad to say last night when I was talking to you, there was a little bit of doubt in Jordan Watterson, but it looks as if he's fit because he's on the park warming up with Rushen. But when you look at sort of Rushen's sort of players in there, Tony Harris is in goal, just watching him going through his warm-up routine. And you've got sort of a lot of good quality sort of players in there that can sort of perform. And very young team as well, which is always nice to see these players develop. And experienced players like Kyle McGee at the back will be looking to see if they can stop the attack of St John's, because I think that's going to be the problem. And as I said last night, with these weather conditions, I just wonder if St John's, if they are sort of in the lead or going okay in the first half, can sustain that in the second period. Because, you know, looking there, Steve Chadwick, John Haggerden, you've got Pedro Cardoza in there, you've got Liam Sale, who's the standout player, Sean Shimon as well. There's a lot of experience in there. But, you know, as fitness goes, Rushen are well and truly drilled, because they were going for the league. So John's were sort of never in it. But they've got the caliber of players to sort of perform. And when you look at Liam there, he scored, 40-odd goals. And just looking at him there, walking off the pitch, then they're expecting a lot of him. And I'm sure the management team of Rushen will pinpoint a marker on him, because he's not a combination player. He's a first-team player. but he enjoys playing with his mates, and he can score for fun.
You mentioned about Rushden United there, so just to put some numbers behind what Tony's been saying there, Rushden United finished second this season. You may remember 2 seasons ago they completed that extraordinary feat of winning all 22 league games to take the Canada Life Combination One title that season. Second in the league, 4 points behind eventual winners Onchan this campaign, 13 points clear of St John's United, who finished fourth this season. But Tony, in a cup final, and I'm sure St John's United will know this, Rushden will know this, league points count for nothing when it comes to a big show down like this.
Absolutely, Rob, and I came down and watched the Rushden St Mary's semi-final last week. That was at the Bowl, and Rushden evidently were awful in the first half. I didn't see that bit, but I came in towards the end of normal time, and it went to extra time, and it was just that the legs, they had it, Rushden, and they got themselves back into the game with their 2 goals and won it. So it just shows you the caliber of Rushden. Bags of experience in the Junior Cup when you look at the history and how many times they've won it. But it's a rarity for St John's here, and they'll be looking to see if they can win it. And it's always nice to see the future players of St John's here, like 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds as mascots who will walk out with the players. It's a tremendous setting, and with this sunshine, there's nowhere better place to be.
And just finally on this point, coming back to St John's United, you've already half answered it by looking at one particular name there, Liam Sale, who's been absolutely prolific in front of goal this season. Just how important is it that Rushden United can keep him quiet this evening?
I think that's what they've got to do. And when I look at sort of Rushden's defence, they're young. Liam's clever, and Liam can hit a ball. So sort of 18 yards out, he'll have a ping at it. And he scored 2 wonderful goals recently. But Matthew Beattie's the one for me, because he's the one that's supposed to be wearing the number one jersey. And basically, he was the one single-handed that knocked the favourites Ramsey out with 3 penalty saves. And if he can put that performance in as well as that this evening, then it could be totally different.
Well, just finally, Tony, before we let you go, we'll just take a quick look ahead to what's going to be happening midweek next week, because there are still a series of fixtures taking place. We've already mentioned that. So just a reminder, there is one more game on Ireland tomorrow, the Masters FA Cup semi-final between Onchan and Ayr United. But looking into next week, we have the Carroll Cup final. Well, as of earlier this week, Tony, there were still no concrete details around time and venue for that. Do we have any update on what the Carroll Cup final might look like on Monday?
Yeah, the Carroll Cup final's gone, Rob, unfortunately, because we didn't find out who the other finalist was until Wednesday evening. And sort of Rushden wrote into the FA to say that they're playing today. And the majority of the squad play for the Cal Cup. And we looked at it and thought it was a little bit unfair to make them play 2 and 2. But, that's got to be changed around. We still haven't got a date. But I'm glad to say that we've finally got a date for the Paul Henry. And that's Wednesday evening. And that's going to be Braddon. Who are they playing now? Against Douglas High School All Boys.
Well, let you catch your breath there just for a moment, Tony. Yeah, but yeah. There is one more league game taking place in midweek as well. Foxdale, who we mentioned, had that draw today, that 2-2 draw with Peel. They'll be facing Ayr United in what will be both teams' final games of the season. So a quick turnaround for both teams.
Yeah, it is a quick turnaround. Ayr United, delighted that they allowed us to bring that Peel game forward. Because we follow in how the games have been postponed. And I just asked Nick Hurt, can we let Peel have their night? And that's the Saturday night. The boys can go out and have a beer. And they were only too glad to help. So they'll play on Tuesday against Foxdale. That's done and dusted for them. And then we've got the big one, which is the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup final on Saturday afternoon. That'll be 2 o'clock kickoff. Then we've got the Masters final the day after on the Sunday. And wherever we can get the Cal Cup in, because we're really struggling to get the venue here. And we're also struggling to get it in, because we like to get it finished for next Saturday, but it's not going to happen. And we'll try and find a date as quick as we can.
Tony Meppen, thank you very much. And enjoy the final this evening.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Manx Radio Sport.
Well, let's take a turn to athletics, and heading into the summer months, the Isle of Man's athletic scene continues to be a hive of activity here and further afield. Along with a busy schedule of meetings coming up around the Isle of Man TT races in just over 2 weeks, there's a big occasion on many people's radar in just over 2 months' time. The 2025 Ireland Games in Orkney are looking ahead in July, with the Manx athletic squad for the Games having been recently announced. Well, to get a bit of insight into that, as well as what's in store on the domestic calendar, I've been catching up with local athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths.
It's always a really exciting time for athletics on the Isle of Man. I think with the exception of the Commonwealth Games, where we obviously have a smaller team, but this is the biggest representative team that we send to any event. So a slightly smaller team than we had in Guernsey. It's a team of 24 this time, 12 men, 12 women. So it's an even split. And it looks like a really strong team. Running through the men's squad, we've got distance runners Mark Berman and Jordan Kane. We've got sprinter Daniel Clegg, Regan Corrin. It's almost hard to describe him, really. A multi-event athlete who's good at absolutely everything. His elder brother Ryan Corrin, who's a middle distance runner. Matt Davis, 400 metres. Corin Leeming, who was the gold medalist in Guernsey in the half marathon. Got Sam Perry, middle distance runner. Corbin Sharder and Lucas Stennis in the 5,000 metres. Seb Skiriditis, who's a long jumper, and Ben Sinclair, who's a sprinter. And quite a few of those are obviously in the relay squads as well. And then on the women's side, we've got distance runners Dawn Atherton, Krista Kane and Emily Milchreist. We've got 400 metre hurdler Amy Christian, who was bronze medalist in Guernsey. Hope Lewis, who's a middle distance runner. Lydia Morris, who's a sprinter, as is Lucy Ormsby and Megan Pilley. Carla Teese is also a sprinter. We've got Tegan Thompson, who's a high jumper. Georgia Price, who is formerly a very successful gymnast and is now taking up athletics, and she's in the jumping events. And we've got Jessica Schroeder in the triple jump.
And a handful of athletes among the names you've mentioned there, and the majority of those in the half marathon events as well, aren't there?
Yes, we've actually, of the 24 athletes, there are 11 debutants altogether. And in fact, five of the six half marathon runners are debutants as far as the Island Games is concerned. But we should say they're all very experienced athletes who won't be remotely fazed about the level of competition. And I think the teams are looking strong.
Yeah, just looking at some of those, I mean, especially the women's side of things, Krista Kane, we've all heard about her exploits in marathon running, but of course Dawn Atherton as well, who's been right at the sharp end for plenty of time now as well. Elsewhere across the squad, you did mention a couple of names there that already have that Island Games experience, and some of them are still quite young as well, so they'll have picked up some valuable traits from when they went to Guernsey just under 2 years ago.
Yes, absolutely. When we were in Guernsey 2 years ago, we had a very young and inexperienced squad because it was the first Island Games for 4 years. They all acquitted themselves brilliantly. Not just the people like Regan Corrin and Corin Leeming, who won gold medals on their debuts, but also the other young debutants who maybe didn't win medals, but they just gained so much experience. You know, they acquitted themselves superbly all through the week, not just in competition, but just the way they approached the whole week. And I think the 2 years' experience that they've had since then will make a huge difference, and they will all be very competitive this time.
Yeah, there were several impressive debuts across the board. My mind goes to some of what the men's and women's relay teams did over out on the athletics track as well. Away from that, though, let's take a look. We'll just have a think about some of the names that aren't there. There are some notable names that won't be involved this year at the Island Games.
Well, there are, yeah. I mean, I feel really sorry for the athletes who have been building up for the Island Games, particularly the potential debutants who have had to withdraw through injury. You know, there are one or two of those, but hopefully they're on the road to recovery. And you know, this event comes around every 2 years, so I hope they can stay motivated and you know, focus on the Faroe Islands in 2 years' time. We're missing Ollie Lockley from the half marathon, but again, you know, we have some very able replacements there. One notable absentee is Rachel Franklin, who will be missing for the first time since she made her debut in 2007. She's on the way back from injury, and hopefully in 2 years' time she'll be back as well. But I think we should say that all the athletes who have been picked are more than capable of filling the gaps, and I think it'll be a very competitive squad in Orkney in July.
Well, no doubt those athletes will have all their respective preparations to come over the coming months. Speaking of preparations, I mean, to a certain extent really, taking a look back at the local scene, there's still plenty coming up in and around the small matter of the Isle of Man TT races.
Looking at the fixture list over the next week, it's I would describe it almost as manic. We've got fixtures nearly every day over the next week, and then we've got a big break over TT where there are no fixtures, so the officials and the athletes will get a bit of a rest. But over the weekend is the Lancashire Track and Field Championships, where, although I haven't seen a detailed list of who's competing, there'll be athletes from Manx Harriers, Northern and Western AC, right through the age groups who will be competing. We always bring back a good haul of medals from that event, and I'm sure it'll be no different this time. On Sunday morning, the Manx Fell Runners host the latest round of the Fell Running League, and that is the Cronk-Neary-Lay Fell Race, which is over a new route, which starts and finishes in the Niarbal area. Very scenic, but a tough climb up to the summit of Cronk-Neary-Lay, down to the bottom of the Slock, back up to the top of the hill again, and back to Niarbal via a slightly different route. So that should be good, especially if the weather's nice. Then on Wednesday evening, we have already the third round of the Isle of Man Track and Field League. The first two rounds were early because of the Island Games selection and to give people a chance to achieve standards. So that's on Wednesday evening. Then on Thursday evening, Manx Harriers have their 5 kilometre road running event, which is both a run and a race walk. So they'll be taking place on the NSC roadway on Thursday evening. Then on Friday, down at Peel, we've got the second round of the Dave Phillips running series, which is based on the promenade and for the older athletes uses the headland course. And then on Saturday, the 17th of May, we have the opening round of the Northern League, which is the Isle of Man. It's not actually a representative team as such in the sense of the Island Games, but it's basically an association of athletes from Manx Harriers, Northern and Western AC, who formed Team Isle of Man. They got promoted to the Western Premier Division last season, so they'll be competing in a higher level of competition this year. And the opening round a week on Saturday is at Witton Park in Blackburn, and the teams, our opponents in that division this season, will be Blackburn Harriers, Sale Harriers, Southport Waterloo, Trafford and West Cheshire. So it's good quality of competition, and that will certainly help to prepare the athletes not only for the Island Games but just for their futures, really.
Coming back to the idea of preparation, like you say, it's not just the Island Games, but no doubt will be a big focus for a lot of these athletes this summer. A manic schedule, as you've mentioned there, leading up to TT, and there's plenty of other things to come afterwards as well. How important is it that these athletes, however they go about their preparations, manage them properly so that they're putting themselves in the best condition possible to head to Orkney?
Well, I think the key is to be in the best possible shape in July, not necessarily in May. I know we've had some athletes who have had to achieve standards by the end of April in order to gain selection, but hopefully the athletes who have been very busy at the start of the season will have an opportunity to have a little bit of a break, maybe sometime fairly soon, and then start the proper build-up to July. It's really important, like, not to burn out, you know, sort of maybe achieve your best form in May, and then by the time you get to July, you're sort of burnt out. So that's where the coaches, you know, the quality of good coaching comes in, where the coaches can manage the workload of the athletes and the training programs, which are tailored to being at the peak at the right time. And that's, you know, that's, I'm sure that's what will happen.
Spoken a lot already about the Island Games, but you have, of course, mentioned that busy local schedule that we've got going on in terms of local athletes, whether it's on or off island. In terms of the local scene generally, I think I always ask this question every time we speak as well. How have things been recently in the athletic scene on the island in terms of demand and popularity?
It seems to be pretty good. I mean, I think we have gone through a phase where certain events are maybe a little bit less popular than they were in the immediate post-COVID periods, where everybody was confined to the islands and we had absolutely incredible numbers. I mean, that was never going to last, obviously, because people were just keen to get away and, you know, to compete in events away. And, you know, we have got a remarkable number of people who are going away to compete. But the local scene has been really good. We had the Northern 10-mile road race on Sunday, and that had, you know, that had good numbers, and, you know, good quality close racing as well. I think the track and field events so far have been good this season. They've been well covered with officials, as far as I can see. So I think things are looking pretty good at the moment. And of course, you know, in 4 years' time, I know that's quite a long way away, but it's not really, because we'll be hosting the Island Games, and there's a lot of work to be done, sort of both, you know, both with the athletes themselves and with the general infrastructure. So it's something to look forward to, but obviously be mindful that there's a lot to do before then.
And just to finish on that, one of those phrases you mentioned there, infrastructure as well, and the people behind the scenes that make it all happen. It's been a constant topic of discussion, I think, we've had over the last few years. And I remember when Ollie Lockley first came in as the development officer of the Isle of Man, is something he was very keen to address. How are things looking at the moment in terms of getting the volunteers to run the events at the moment?
Yeah, I think things do look to be improving. Certainly, I know we've got a lot more coaches who were training up at the moment. I think there was a course a couple of months ago where there was something like 13 or 14 coaches who were on that particular course, and some of them are, you know, some of the younger athletes as well, not just the, you know, not just sort of maybe former athletes. You know, it's great to see some of the young athletes, some of whom are in the Island Games team actually, keen to get into coaching as well. And that's exactly the sort of thing we need. You know, we need a bit of vibrancy from the youthful side of the sport, because they are the future.
That's David Griffiths, local athletics correspondent there, just giving us a quick insight into the 2025 Isle of Man athletics squad for this year's Island Games in Orkney, being held from the 12th to the 18th of July, and a bit of sort of a summary of what's coming up on the Isle of Man athletics calendar in the coming weeks and months in and around the small matter of the Isle of Man TT races. And speaking of motorsport, to round things out this evening, it has of course been the final day of the 2025 Northwest 200 out in Northern Ireland. Busy old day, six races taking place. The final of those races, the six lap superbike race, is currently underway. Two laps in, there was drama on lap one already with one of the front runners, Peter Hickman, a retirement on the first lap due to a mechanical issue. But lap two of six underway in that particular race. And a quick summary of what's already happened today. Opening race of the day won by Richard Cooper in the Super Twin race. So a good win for him, taking the honours there. The second race, well, there was some controversy in that one. Michael Dunlop taking the Superbike win. So his third win of the Northwest 200 this weekend. Incidentally, yesterday his first two wins were his first wins around the Triangle Circuit since 2016. So 9 years. But Michael Dunlop taking victory. He had initially been given a 10-second penalty during the race for going through the Mathers Cross chicane and not stopping in the stop box. However, he managed to get himself back to the front of the field by the time the checkered flag came out, and across the line first he went. Well, after some deliberation, it seems, the penalty was rescinded, Dunlop taking the victory ahead of David Todd and Peter Hickman, who were crestfallen, to say the least, on that one. So Dunlop winning that one ahead of Todd in second and Hickman in third. Meanwhile, Richard Cooper took his second victory of the day in the third race, an absolutely thrilling super sport race, an incredible battle at the front that meant just less than 0.3 seconds separated the eventual top three. Richard Cooper taking top spot ahead of Dean Harrison in second and Michael Dunlop in third. A cracking race it was. Race four, Davy Todd triumphant in the Superstock race, overcoming the disappointment from the earlier superbike race in the day. And in the race before the one we are seeing just now, end of lap two on the superbike race, the race just beforehand, well, drama again in the second Super Twin race of the day. Paul Jordan taking victory and an unlikely podium also for Michael Sweeney in second and Barry Ferber in third, after Richard Cooper and Adam McLean, the front runners in that race, had a little bit of a coming together at Juniper Hill chicane with just a few corners to go. Both did go down, but were both quickly back up on their feet, but ultimately out of the race. So an incredible win, really, and a memorable one for Paul Jordan. Great podiums as well for Michael Sweeney and Barry Ferber. Well, that just about brings to an end Saturday Sport Classified for this week, our final programme of the 24-25 season of Saturday Sport Classified. Next weekend at 5 p.m, full-time show before that at 4 o'clock as well. We will now be handing back over here on Manx Radio AM 1368 to Radio Caroline. And just leaves me to say thank you so much for joining us once again this Saturday. Have a wonderful evening, and also have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend as well. But from me and the team, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.